From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
So,
here's an embarrassing admission. I think every single recording of me interviewing someone begins with me saying the words, it's the things you learn about yourself when you're recording yourself. You should try it. Anyway, in this case, I was sitting down on a couch with legendary fashion designer Diane von Furstenberg. And there were some other people around.
I thoroughly enjoyed every second.
I love listening to you and your daughter.
Anyway, it took a little time to get settled in. But here's the thing. A few months ago, I was emceeing an all-day event for Babson College called Babson Connect Worldwide. And Diane was one of the speakers. She was being interviewed on stage. I was sitting there in the audience watching Diane. And Diane said this thing while she was talking. She said that every successful person feels like a loser at least once a week. And I loved that. I was like, oh my God, I got to talk to Diane about this afterwards. This is just exactly the kind of thing that I think everybody needs to hear because, you know, if you hear it from Diane von Furstenberg, then you don't feel so bad when it happens to you. So anyway, it was a busy day. And after Diane got off the stage, she was, of course, mobbed with people who wanted selfies and all sorts of stuff. And eventually she made her way back to the green room with me and she had a whole bunch of things to do. But I was able to grab just 10 minutes of her time because I wanted to dive into that idea deeper. And what came out of it was a great Q&A that ran in the December issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. But I want to play for you the raw audio, the very messy, noisy audio. So that you can hear these ideas from Diane herself. Because the thing is that though she is so extremely successful, she has this amazing perspective on work and on what it means to carry yourself through the journey. You know, she's had a lot of ups and downs in her career. She has reinvented herself a number of times. And the thing that she has learned most of all, as you will hear, is that the most important thing is owning it. Is whatever it is that you do with doing it with full conviction and putting yourself behind it and knowing that things are going to change and that's okay because you can own the change too. It's a really empowering and important perspective, and it's ever more impactful coming from someone as accomplished as her. So here's what we're going to do on Problem Solvers today. I'm going to play you a bunch of this audio. Again, I want to stress as somebody who really loves and takes care of audio, this is messy audio, but I think you're going to enjoy hearing it. And I'm going to break in a lot to share my own thoughts along with Diane. So it is 10 minutes on a couch being philosophical with Diane von Furstenberg coming up right after the break. To tell you his experience with Chase for Business, here's Kamal Grant, founder and owner of Sublime Donuts in Atlanta.
Since I opened up Sublime Donuts in Atlanta, I make every day sweeter for my customers. But as a small business owner, I never know what unexpected challenges will come my way. Last Valentine's Day, disaster struck when my donut mixer broke down. For a business owner, something as small as a broken mixer can quickly stir up catastrophe for the business you built from scratch. Instead of panicking, I use my line of credit from Chase to purchase a new mixer. Having a line of credit gives me access to cash when I need it most. My business was quickly back up and running just in time for the afternoon rush. Most importantly, Valentine's Day was saved for donut lovers everywhere. Speak with your Chase business banker today about whether a line of credit is right for your small business or visit chase.com/businesscredit. Make more of what's yours no matter what mix-ups come your way.
Subject to approval, additional terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Chase business checking account required. Participants compensated. JPMorgan Chase Bank NA member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
All right, we're back. So like I said, 10 minutes on a couch getting philosophical with Diane von Furstenberg. And Diane had said on stage that every successful person feels like a loser at least once a week. But she did not say on stage if she had felt like a loser this week. So of course, that's where I had to start.
Did you actually feel like a loser this week?
This week? Certainly last week.
What happened last week?
No, just, you know. But you do, okay. You know, you do because You do. I mean, you do. And I mean, you know, you feel like a loser. You wake up and you doubt and you do this. And so my trick is always I look in the mirror and I say, if you doubt your power, you give power to your doubts.
Mm. How did you come to embrace and understand that? That is not a natural thing for people to do. To accept that feeling bad is just part of the process. I think people feel like, oh no, I am a failure, and then they scramble, instead of what you're proposing, which is to just accept that it's part of the process.
I'm a very old woman, and I've lived very, very fully. Very fully, so I should be twice my age. So I have a lot of experience. I'm very analytic. I have a very good relationship with myself. And if you have a good relationship with yourself, you have to be critical. Mm. And you have to be both hard and reassuring at the same time. So
whenever somebody talks like this, I always wonder what the source of it was. What was the origin? Did they learn to talk like this or think like this or act like this or feel like this? Or were they born with it? Did it just come naturally to them? It's an important question to me, because I think that if you can learn it, if you can adopt it, then it's available to more people. I hate the idea, and I don't really believe that it's true. I hate the idea that some people are just predisposed to it, that you naturally just know how to orient yourself to the world. Because if that's the case, then there are only a select number of people who, by some weird combination of genetics and whatever, were able to become successful. I don't think that's true. It's just not true. So, of course, this is the way that I wanted to jump off of this with Diane, is to ask her, where did that come from for her?
Was that something you had earlier in your career?
I don't know. You know, it was pretty much always the same. I wrote my diary since I was a young girl. I've never done therapy, but I think writing my diary was helpful. Mm. If you open my diary at any pages, I'm always at the turning point of my life. Yeah. It looks like I've done nothing but turning. So.
Right. Because turning, if you're always at a turning point, then the turning is the constant.
I don't know.
Diane didn't go for my deep thought there, but I think that there's actually something to it. I mean, if you're always turning, then the turning is the constant. If you're always reinventing yourself, if you're always looking for something new or trying to understand something new, then that becomes by itself a part of you, and you can adjust to it and embrace it and be a part of it. I think that's a great thing. I think that we should always be looking at ourselves and saying, oh, I'm something different now, or, oh, I'm interested in something different now. That's good. That means that it's not alarming, that it's not some weird, scary thing to resist, that it's actually just you.
You know, you do the best you can. And, you know, people used to say I was an icon, and now I'm an oracle. So it is important for me to use my voice and my experiences and my knowledge and my connection to help others.
Anyway, from there, we got talking about speaking and communicating with people and putting herself out there and what it is that she's trying to do when she talks to people, either in person or on stage. And I love this perspective that she offers here, because let me just have her say it and then I'll follow up.
You know, when I speak, I learn. Mm-hmm. Because I always kind of try to impress myself and say something fresh that I haven't said before. So I kind of like to speak publicly, because it's like thinking loud.
I found the same, it's why I love doing it too. It forces you to think on the fly, and if you force yourself to do that, then you'll become better at it.
That's right, and you learn.
And also, let me add something else here for anybody who's interested in doing a lot of public speaking. So I do a lot of it. I do a bunch of keynotes, and I love doing the keynotes because I come in with this presentation that I know really well, and I could just kind of command the stage. But sometimes I like to be a panelist, to just sort of sink into just being one of a bunch of people on stage. And the reason is because when you're a panelist, you get questions thrown at you, and conversations go in directions that you couldn't have anticipated, and things just start popping out of your mouth. just things start coming off at the top, you know, and then when you say something that maybe you haven't said on stage before, you get to see how people react to it. And so I have used panels as something of a I don't even know what to, like a content generation moment where I'm going to say stuff that I hadn't prepared or even thought about before. And I get to see if people like it. And if I say something and the audience reacts really well or the panelists really react well, then I'll like flag it in my head and I'll think about it afterwards. And I'll say, oh, is this something that I could expand upon in a talk or a column or something else? Is this something that I should be saying more regularly, thinking about more? These are the kinds of things that you just don't stumble upon if you have full command of the stage and you're saying the same thing that you've said 1,000 times. But be on that panel, be pushed to think on the fly, and you'll come up with all sorts of new stuff that people will love. But okay, back to Diane. You know, I had read a number of interviews that Diane had given, and she kept using this phrase, magic wand. For example, she had told Vogue, quote, "When you have a voice, when you are successful, when you have a lot of knowledge, you do have a magic wand. You can make so much difference with so little," end quote. But she doesn't limit the magic wand idea to just people who are successful. The point that she wants to make is that everybody has something. Everybody is successful in some way. You have something to offer. You have some way in which your magic wand can be valuable to others, and you should use it. So I wanted her to expand upon that when we talked.
You definitely do have a magic wand. Because, of course, at this point, you are so influential that you send an email. And as you said, it could change someone's life. But I see you constantly telling people who, you know, most people in the audience, most people you meet who are not as influential as you are, that they have a magic wand, too.
They do.
I think people forget that.
And I think they do. I think that's also a secret you find out. I try to share the things that I learn. And I try to share my secrets. And that's why it's important to make fun of yourself, you know, also publicly, and not be condescending, and because then people relate to you more. And they, I mean, people, you know, if I say to people that I feel like a loser twice a week, that is an inspiring thing, because the next time they'll feel like a loser, say, you know what, she does too.
Yeah. To the idea of that.
I mean, if you're going to speak publicly, it may as well be useful. You know,
right.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Sure. To the idea that everybody has a magic wand, I would love you to speak more to that, to encourage people, because I think that people forget that even if they run a tiny company that nobody's ever heard of, to somebody they can be very valuable.
That's right. But even people who, I mean, it's just a matter of paying attention. The secret in life is paying attention. Paying attention to the details, you know. You can go in the woods, and somebody can go in the woods and say, what did you see? And say, a bunch of trees. And then somebody else will go through the same woods and see a universe.
Right. How would you suggest that the average entrepreneur use their magic wand?
By paying attention. Paying attention to small people, paying attention to people's feelings, paying attention to people's needs, paying attention to everything.
So how does Diane use her magic wand? Well, here is one way. She said it on stage. She said it in other interviews. Perhaps you've even read her saying it, that every morning she sends 2 emails that do not benefit her. Like 2 emails connecting somebody or helping somebody. You know, she knows that her presence, her very word, her involvement in some conversation can be of value to somebody else. And so she's waking up and waving that magic wand around. And I wondered, when did she start doing that?
I'm not quite sure. Well, I mean, you know, I couldn't have started before there were emails.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know, maybe
right, but I mean,
15 years ago.
So I guess it's, I mean, I was wondering if it was, if you had reached a point in your self understanding where you said, okay, it is now time, like I've accomplished.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen like that.
Yeah.
You know, it happens gradually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happens gradually, and then you discover, first of all, when you do that,
yeah.
I mean, the magic is not just one way. Magic goes the other way.
Mm-hmm.
You would not believe how many times it boomerangs. It comes back to you. You did just a big, huge favor to somebody, and something happens, you need that person. It's just, that's the magic of connecting and paying attention and you know, we all do the same thing. We work, we sleep, we this, we that, we eat. What makes a difference is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may as well own it.
Yeah.
The secret of life is owning it.
It reminds me of...
I mean, even a disease, you know. You're being diagnosed, you have a disease. You know what? You got to own it. You don't like it, but you got to own it. So the doctors will help, but at the end it's you. So you have your part in it too.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a phrase that my father-in-law uses a lot, which is, life is about addition, not subtraction. And that you are constantly, I mean, to what you're saying, you're constantly adding people to your world.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, how often do you get to quote your father-in-law to Diane von Furstenberg?
So you are now in a phase where, of course, you're talking about, probably because people are asking you constantly about legacy.
Because my age.
Yeah.
Can we just pause on that for a second? You know, I wanted to ask her about what it's like to be at a phase in your career where people are, you know, having you look backwards. Basically, they're saying, you know, your journey is almost over because you're old. And I was not going to say you're old to Diane von Furstenberg, but Diane will say it to herself, right? I had asked her about legacy and she said, because of my age. And earlier in the conversation, she had called herself an old woman. So, you know, she's not uncomfortable with that. But I wasn't sure at the start, so I was being very nimble about it. But I just love her bluntness. Okay, anyway.
Was it an uncomfortable transition?
No. You have to understand, death is a part of my life all my life.
What do you mean?
I mean, I've spent years thinking about where I was going to be buried, you know. So, I mean, for me, I don't like surprises. So because you can die any day of your life since very young, death is, I mean, there's not a day that I don't think about death. So it's very much part of life.
Mm. And so you have,
yeah. What they said in the Talmud, life is a journey and death is the destination.
Hmm. Then, final, because I know we have to wrap up. To that, is that a healthy perspective, do you think, for entrepreneurs to always be thinking about
I don't know.
The far future.
You know, what does it mean? Entrepreneur is life, right? Everybody's entrepreneur of their own life. It's just about life.
And so there's got to be a destination.
Yeah. It's a journey. It's a journey.
Yeah.
And just you may as well own the journey and do as much possible your way. And because there's always things that... There could be wars, there could be rain, there could be all kinds of things. But if you own you... then you are equipped.
If you own you, then you are equipped.
Diane, thank you so much for your time. Can I be totally inappropriate?
And then I hit the button to stop recording. But I know you're curious. The end of that sentence was, can I be totally inappropriate and ask for a selfie? Because, you know, hey, we were having a professional conversation and then now I'm getting all selfie. But I mean, come on. When you're on a couch with Diane von Furstenberg, you've got to take a selfie and send it to your wife to impress her, which is what I did. And yes, she was impressed. But you know what? I was most impressed with Diane's perspective on life. Owning it. If you own it, then you are equipped. I mean, ultimately, isn't that what she's been saying throughout this conversation? And I think throughout her whole journey, she's all about just empowering yourself to believe in the thing that you're doing and the journey that you're on. And that, yes, there will be ups and downs, but that's okay. That's part of it. So just, you know, feel like a loser, like Diane von Furstenberg. And then keep going. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.